Hey everybody, welcome to Starting Over with Gretchen and Camille. I'm Gretchen.
I'm Camille. Nice to see you guys again.
We appreciate y'all being here. Today, Camille and I are going to talk about some things that we all go through.
Yeah.
We all go through because we all are old enough to have a past.
That's right.
Doesn't have to be like something horrific that's happened, but generally what makes up our personality is based on things that we've experienced in our past.
That's right. Our environment. And there's either something you're born to be like or you learned it from your environment, right?
Yeah, and so what I think happens, especially as we get into adulthood and we just get used to being a certain way,
yeah,
we don't really stop to think, like, why is this prediction always happening? Or why am I not happy in a relationship? Or, you know, whatever it is. And the biggest thing that I've learned just from my experience is if you keep living from your past,
yeah,
your past will always be your future.
That's right.
Because you're never at a place that you're ready to break that of whatever it was. Now, let's say it's great and happy. That's good. Continue that. That means you've all of a sudden, you know, figured out that success. But if you're coming from a place that maybe you're thinking, man, my childhood was bad, or this person was bad to me, and you just keep feeling like I'm the victim and I'm this way because of that, that's not living.
No, and I'm not saying that's probably not accurate, meaning we do make decisions based on things that happened to us in our past,
sure.
Right? Yeah, but then if you're on autopilot, it just keeps happening the same way over and over. There's habitual experiences that we don't know that we're contributing to, yet we are. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Yeah. Yes. So we keep, like, what are we doing the same way that's predictably creating the same results? Or what are we choosing? Or what are we thinking? Or how are we? So we're kind of causing that too.
It's right? It's almost like what are you, you know, what is your language? Have you been around somebody that they're the first to tell you how awful their ex was?
Mm-hmm.
Continually, you know? And so I always think to myself, when you're in a state like that, you automatically will bring that energy to any relationship.
That's
maybe
right.
You don't have a great relationship with your kids, or maybe it's with your boss, or whatever it is, because you keep inviting that experience into your life.
Well, what I hear when I hear people do that, and I people walk in my office, that's what they're doing. They're telling me their story. We all got a story, right?
Right.
So my story is, and I keep going through this pattern, and I experience I'm the same role in every relationship, which means I'm maybe their victim. Maybe I'm always betrayed, or people lie to me all the time. And that's probably accurate. That's probably true. But they have to look at how they're sourcing that, how they are at the source of that, or it doesn't change.
Yeah. So when you say at the source, so it means kind of like it's landing on you for what reason?
Yeah.
Joe Dispenza talks about when he works with people, he never says to them, tell me your story. Because he goes, I don't want to do that to them.
No.
I don't want them to feel like I am this way because of this circumstance. Yeah. And so
I agree. It's probably not true necessarily. Okay. Yeah. We don't know. We really, are we that way because our childhood was what that was? Maybe not. That's based on choices.
Right.
And to really be an empowered human being, I'm this way because I chose to be on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take the ownership, and that's when you can change it.
So I was listening to this talk about the placebo effect, and it was basically this particular subject was talking about people that had been diagnosed with a disease. And the example was, you know, you hear from the experts, which are the MDs. They tell you what your diagnosis is. They tell you what the treatments are going to be. They tell you the side effects. They kind of just lay it all out there. And the majority of us go, okay, well, that's what I can expect.
Yeah.
Because you're the authority, and that's what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, people in their lives look at them and go, oh, I'm gonna put this on you because this is what my experience is.
Right. People do judge others.
I had somebody that had this, or I know somebody, or this is what happened. And so you automatically get kind of labeled.
Yeah.
Whether it's through your own mind or through what other people are thinking about it. And that becomes, or it can become, your reality. But the placebo effect is where you basically make a decision that says, this is the outcome I'm going to have.
Yeah.
While I respect whatever, you know, whatever it is, I don't have to buy into that. I can choose how I want this to turn out.
Yes. And how you're going to handle something. That's right. You're not a victim of your circumstances. you can choose how you're going to deal with the circumstances happening to you.
Yeah.
And when you are proactive in your life and you're not reactive, and you're not a victim, you're choosing to, again, deal with life on its own terms, you can choose how you're going to see it and perceive it. It's the perception of it. It doesn't have to upset us. It doesn't have to kill us. It doesn't have to ruin us. You don't have to get upset about something like other people normally would.
Right.
But it doesn't have to upset us.
I love when you say, like, what does this mean to you?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
What are you making it mean?
What are you making it mean? How is it really affecting you?
Yeah.
Right? And that sometimes can be hard when it's somebody else's mood.
Yeah.
You know, but I always think, okay, but how does that really affect me?
Yeah.
If I'm worried about one of my kids and the worry has nothing to do with something that I've done, what is that really doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Stressing you out for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do people, Camille, first of all, how do they sometimes even figure out why they feel a certain way? Maybe they don't even know that they're feeling that, which is why.
Results. You know, based on results, there's got to be something that's sourcing a result. So how do you create results? You observe, you decide, you act, and you accomplish. That's kind of the process of achieving anything. So you look at your results. What are your results in your life? Well, I don't like those results. I want to change my results. Well, okay, so go backward. You decided something about, you made a choice to do something. And then what did you observe? So you have to see, what did I observe? What did I decide? How did I act? So you took an action.
Yeah.
You decided something. You felt something. You observed something. You have to go back and see what you're creating with that. But if you don't stop and take an inventory of what you want to change or how you want to change yourself, nothing ever changes. You have to, you are the one that's in charge of that. No one else can change other people.
Camille and I were talking about, you know, any of us that have ever been on maybe a workout journey or a weight loss
sure.
journey or anything like that, that we feel like, okay, you know, tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. And our brain sometimes says, just do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or, you know what, do it tonight. Don't worry about now. Yeah. So our brain is used to feeling or having our body react a certain way.
Yeah.
And when we try to make those changes, sometimes our body goes, I'm not comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And that's the case with even emotions.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with you deciding to feel better about something.
Right. Well, we like our the devil we know.
Yeah.
You know, we like the problems we know. And so people are, they're comfortable in their story. They're comfortable in not changing. Look, change requires, it requires effort and it requires to be uncomfortable.
True.
So if you, and every change is like that. I mean, even if it's pleasurable change, it's still change. So we are all creatures of habit.
Right.
And so our habits have to change. You know, the way they say the statement is necessity is a mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like hypothetical, there is some sort of earth shifting, an earthquake. You have to move out of your house. That is going to force change upon you. That's uncomfortable, right? Fast change is painful. Slow changes are better. And even experts will say to really have good habit changes, you do small, safe things every day. And then you track them and you try and increase that over time. It takes a lot longer, but but sustainable change works, right?
Well, and I think along with that is when you have the desire, like say it's an emotional change, when you no longer want to be what your past experience is,
yeah.
when you no longer want to live from an emotion that has already happened, that's not even happening right now,
yes.
you are more aware of, I don't want to feel this way anymore. And then you have to train your body how to not be that anymore, because your body is used to reacting to what your brain tells it to do.
Right.
So when you are now all of a sudden trying to do something different, you have to kind of retrain your body. As Joe Dispenza says, he's like, you have to train the beast. The beast is the body. And you have to say, no, at this time, I'm going to sit still. And for meditation, I'm not getting up until I feel, you know, whatever it is. Camille and I, we have this thing where we take pauses during the day where we just kind of check our mood.
Yeah, tap in.
What do we need to do? You know, how do I feel better? I know yesterday I had a day that I was like, I'm in a mood.
I'm in a funk.
I'm in a mood, and I'm just going to own it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm getting out of it right now, but I know that I'm in a mood.
Yeah.
But it also made me wake up this morning and go, I don't want to be that way.
I'm going to choose my mood. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can choose our mood. I think the most critical thing, though, is just for change to begin is to stop resisting what is. So, like, when I'm in a low mood or I'm angry or I'm just like, I'm in a just pissy mood kind of thing. I've noticed that. It's like, what is that about? I stop and I go, what if this is okay? I make it right. I stop and go, well, okay, I'm going to let myself be this right now. I'm going to accept myself right now as I am. And I'm not going to take it out on anybody else. I'm just going to go, what's going on?
Right.
I'm okay. I stop resisting because resistance is going to cause me to persist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I allow it. And the minute I allow it, I kind of go, huh. And then I just kind of be with it. But the minute I resist it, I'm telling you, it sticks around. So quit resisting where you're at. Quit resisting the story. The secret to change, though, honestly, is to accept what is, and then it doesn't affect you anymore. I'll tell you how I did something. I had a series of men that cheated on me. I was like in my 20s or something. I'm like, what the? Is this just my fate, my destiny? My first husband cheated, got a friend of mine pregnant. It was kind of a traumatic moment. And I had some trauma around that. So I identified as the victim of that. And I thought, well, all men are cheaters. So guess what I manifested? I had probably 4 or 5 guys cheat on me after that. And I thought, I never had that before, my husband, and now I've got a series. So I think I was part of the problem. I was, because I decided that's how it was going to be for me.
Right.
And so I thought, I'm going to quit being upset about this. I'm just going to, just how it is. It's okay. I'm going to be okay with it. I'm going to expect it.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to encourage it. I'm going to bring it on. I leaned into it. I actually was like, well, when's that going to happen? Let's just see what happens. And it quit happening. Mm-hmm. Literally quit happening. Mm-hmm. I never had it happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to quit. I had to quit resisting that it was happening. And when I wasn't hurt by it, like I quit being hurt by it. I allowed it. It just wasn't my choice. It was their little character, not me. It wasn't personal.
Right.
But I literally had to reframe it for myself.
Yeah.
And when I did that, it really quit happening.
Well, you weren't fearing it anymore.
No, no. I was like, yeah, I was looking forward to it, frankly. I mean, I know.
Because you were like, you don't know who you're dealing with. It's Camille.
Well, and I was just like, we'll see what happens. I had no expectations of men. I mean, none.
Yeah.
I just was like,
I
wasn't going to get hurt anymore by it. I just took the power. I just wasn't going to hand in my power anymore. And I wasn't going to be the victim of it. If it happened, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move on. I have 45 guys. I didn't know. But I was just going to continue to just be me. And I was not going to give it permission to harm me anymore.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
So if it happened, it happened. And I just do what I did. I'd start cheating. I didn't know. I was just like, okay.
I didn't make
it mean. You know what? I quit making it mean something. See, we personalize it. Mm. I was personalizing it, especially with my first marriage. What did I do wrong? Oh, my gosh. I mean, I actually asked him, what's wrong with me? And he said to me, well, you know, I mean, you don't cook every night and you don't wear teddies anymore. I'm like, okay. So guess what I was doing? I'm in red stilettos in a teddy cooking dinner when he came home. You betcha I was doing
that. Right, because you were like, I'll do whatever.
Well, because it was my fault, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I took it on. And then at the end of it, I was like, okay. I mean, I really let it go.
Yeah.
It wasn't about me. I mean, he could have said, you know, you need to stay on your head and, you know, whatever.
Just catch it. And you would have been like, okay.
Exactly. Because you're so caught up in it.
Yeah. But that's when you become, like, you literally become the puppet of your emotions, because you care more about solving the problem than you do really about being true to who you are.
Yes.
What's the expression where your actions follow where your emotions are? You know what I'm saying? So if you put your energy into a feeling, you're pretty much going to reap whatever that is.
You reap what you sow.
It's like, you know, have you ever had a bad feeling about somebody? Maybe it's an ex, whatever it is.
Mm.
And you've gotten to a part in your life where you can see them in a room and it doesn't affect you anymore.
Yes.
It's because you've let it all go.
Yeah.
Like you're no longer associating a bad memory, a bad feeling with that, or you never, maybe you don't see them, but maybe you never ever think about it.
Yes.
It's because you moved on.
That's right. Well, and even, like, I still have clients to this day that can't hear old songs, or they can't drive past that house, or they're not going to go in that restaurant ever again because that was where.
It was a memory, huh?
Yes, it's a bad memory. And I'm the kind of person, oh, no, turn that shit up. I'm not going to be stopped by anything. I don't want anything to own or dominate me. And again, the song has memory prior to, but I don't want that to stop me. So I'll lean into it is what I'll do, right?
Yeah, you're good about that.
I don't want to be stopped by stuff.
But really, I think the bottom line with what we're trying to say here, y'all, is don't let your emotions control your life.
Right.
Your past emotions don't need to control your future.
Yeah.
You need to recognize, you need to own them, and you need to work through them and then leave them alone. Like, stop letting the past predict your future. Stop waking up every morning thinking, you know, I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate driving this car. This and this and that. And then you're just kind of creating a day full of
hate.
Nothing good.
Well, you can't ever change anything. And again, you have to accept it. I think Dr. Phil said, you got to bring the unconscious to the conscious to see what, why you need it in that way.
Oh, yeah.
But I think this is exactly where people have to get, is you have to see how you created what you did. And not all of it. You just have to stop fighting your life. Quit fighting yourself.
Right.
You know, when you had cancer, like, you didn't fight it. You didn't resist it. You were like, I'm just going to, it is what it is, and I'm not going to, you know, take it personal. You didn't take that personal.
That may be the only time in my life I've learned that, but...
It was pretty instinctual for you.
It actually, I didn't even think about it. But I am thinking too, like, a lot of times, you know, I think, and you hear this more because of your profession with relationships, people just kind of get a label, like, people always cheat on me, or people are always dishonest, or people always use me, or, you know, whatever it is. And then you go out on a, say you go out on a date, and then you meet somebody, and they've been through the same thing, and you're like, oh, let me tell you my story. No, let me tell you my story, you know. And before you know it, you're like soothing each other based on your woes.
Your victim wound.
Yeah, but, you know, to me, I'd be like, red light, hang on.
Well, you're
if
next.
If they want to talk about this so much, they still have this active in their life. Yeah. And I don't want to be a part of that.
But the truth is, you're next. I mean, if their story is, all women do this to me, you're that's actually what he's saying. You're going to be doing this to me, or I'm going to think you are. So if they're stuck in their past, you're going to be part of that narrative. And if they have a narrative about women or a narrative about men, then you're the next narrative.
Yeah,
and you'll just fit into their narrative
because
you're not awake.
Yeah, and you're not a person.
No.
Personal person. You're actually just another one.
Yeah.
I think so too that when you can get to a part where, you know, always realize that it's the right thing to recognize the good and bad.
Yeah.
It's a right thing to recognize, oh, I know that behavior.
Yeah.
And don't let it mean anything to you. Don't be like, oh, they're trying to get me. Just go like, oh, okay, I recognize that. I'm familiar with that little red flag, and I'm just going to step away.
You know, you've been objectified. I've been objectified. Women, people get objectified. This is a way being objectified again, okay? I'm driving to work yesterday, and I'm looking over, and there's these two guys.
Just looking at you.
Looking at me, and actually, it was today because I had my hair. I had my weave in, and I got my big lashes, and I was kind of doing this in the mirror, kind of checking my look, but again, they're looking at me, you know, kind of like, oh, and it's kind of a sexual look, and they don't know me, and they're just kind of, they're looking at my lip. I mean, I could just see it, right? And I think what's happening is this is what's happening with people is they see you as that thing, like you're that thing that gets them going, or you're that person that's going to hurt them, or they're fearful. And so there's almost, again, it's like they're in their own head. They're not even with you. They're in some sort of image about what their history is, you know?
Right.
What's their kink? What's their, what's their history with women? You know, how many women, so it's almost like this automatic pilot. And if you're not with someone who's awake and present with you, I ask people sometimes, oh, I just fell in love. This person, you know, I love them. I say, well, who do they remind you of? You know, because when you fall in love hard and you know, from one week to the next, I'm in love again. Who does that person remind you of? It's interesting what they come up with. Oh my gosh, I never thought about that. My girlfriend from high school, that cheerleader I always wanted to have sex with. I had a client this last 2 weeks ago. He said to me, I'm in trouble. I said, what's going on? I moved this woman in. She's older than me, like 15 years. She's in her 70s. I'm in my 50s. What are you doing, sugar? Well, and I said, let me just ask you one question. Who did she remind you of? Because she won't leave now. She sold her house. She's 100% invested. She wants to get married, and she's kind of having health issues and dementia. And he's like, what have I done to my life? And he's in his 50s. She's almost 70. And I said, what did you do? And I said, let me just ask you, who does this woman remind you of? Well, his stepmother, who abused him. And as soon as he went, aha moment, oh my gosh, what have I done? Well, I guess you better get her out of there, call her kids. So here's the thing about everybody. We all have history. We have a brain. And so we're not clean slates. So when you meet people or when you're going through change, you have to recognize that this person may trigger something in your past.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're reacting like from your past, not from a present time, you know, requirement. So don't objectify people or put them in, you know, a scenario that reminds you of your past.
If you guys want to contact Camille, she does virtual.
See what you live in your history like? Yeah. Whatever.
Or you can come in and see her if you're local. It's 801-809-2222. Give her a call. But we appreciate y'all being here for Starting Over. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.